of the high country here. We're looking at maybe in the higher elevations overnight in certain areas in King County and Pierce County and up into the Cascades, 5 to 8 inches. Higher elevations getting more, obviously. Overall, we are seeing tomorrow a day where we're only going to climb to about 35 degrees, but the afternoon looks much drier. We're really worried about that morning commute. Frosty overpasses in neighborhoods, getting in and out. School delays and closures are very much a possibility. We do dry out later Thursday into Friday. Friday into Saturday, we get just a little bit of a nudge of another chance of some snow mixing in. And then late Saturday into Sunday, Monday, we dry out with another round of that wintry mix. Showers coming our way this time next week.
Lights are turned down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight.
Well, that's a contrast.
How I'll hate going out in the storm.
The weather report.
But if you really hold
snow! Go underground! Never come out! And then you hear the singer.
Yeah.
Oh, snow is so wonderful, and I just want to bathe in it to my armpits.
No one ever makes a song about ice.
That's true.
Yeah, that's the problem.
There was a little bit of that this morning. Not that Bucky would know.
No.
Ashley.
How's the cozy house?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all right. Not going to lie.
You sound like you're right. In a cabin.
He does. I hear the crackling fire.
Yeah. Get a crackling fire going.
And a bearskin rug.
You should be roasting chestnuts by an open fire right now.
Well, the fire's inside. I'm out in the weight room thing.
Yeah, like some on fire.
So, yeah, why not?
Gotta have a spare couch or something.
You afraid?
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. I could do that. I don't know if the wife's going to be real happy if the weight room goes up in flames.
He said spare couch.
Yeah, I said I didn't say the main couch.
Yeah, the extra one.
That's right. Nobody's going to light a barbell on fire. It won't even work.
No, even if you douse it in gasoline, it's just going to get really hot.
You'd have to have a lot of weight belts. To create the fire you're looking for.
That's the truth.
That's true. I could light the chair that I'm sitting in on fire, but then you guys are going to do the show by yourself.
Then you just stand the rest of the show.
Yeah, and then roast your chestnuts by that open fire.
No.
Good morning and welcome in. It is Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. Chuck Powell, former Mariner Bucky Jacobson, Ashley Ryan with you till 10 o'clock. Man, it's just been weird to do radio between like sicknesses and people being out and now the weather. It's like it's hard to get into a groove this winter.
It is.
You know what I mean?
It is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Bucky's not here. Bucky, even though I live on the east side and I got zero flakes.
Yeah.
Bucky got like 38 feet of snow last night.
Did you get, is it Bucky high out there?
It's not quite that high, no, but it didn't stop snowing maybe it did overnight a little bit, but when I went to bed, it was snowing. And then when I woke up, it was snowing and I probably got another, from the time I got home last night until now, at least 13 inches.
Wow.
I would say.
Wow.
Yeah, we got a foot and a half of snow for sure. This morning when I woke up and then came out and shoveled off the little walkway over here, and it already snowed another 2 inches just from 4 o'clock this morning till now.
It's a simple little drive, and it's as if that you live like in another continent.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, based on the differences between our two nights last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really wasn't bad. Like on my way home yesterday, it was fine. I mean, the roads were all bare for the most part, a little slush here and there in the carpool lane or the far left lane. And then when I got off the interstate at my exit, it hadn't been plowed at all. And so it was a foot of snow and just kind of ruts and starting to turn into that heavy slush stuff that yanks the truck around. And
Yeah,
next thing you know, I was like, boy, I don't know for sure. I mean, I probably could have gotten out, but it would have been dicey. And then if all of a sudden I get stuck on the road from here to the freeway, and then I'm not even going to be able to come on the air. So I thought I'll just better safe than sorry, I suppose.
Let's set a precedent, too, because like if we have 18 inches of snow, just so you guys know, I'm not even trying to come in.
How are things at the creek?
Very icy. So we didn't get any more snow yesterday, but we still had enough that we did some sledding last night and built a snowman.
Oh, nice.
All sorts of things. Then the dog went over and peed immediately on the snowman. which was pretty funny.
Right.
No, he didn't, but it was pretty funny.
Okay.
Then he proceeded to bark at the snowman all night every time he went to the window.
Corgis hate snowmen.
Apparently. But yeah, this morning it was just crunch, 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 and scraping ice off my car. I mean, it was, everything was frozen.
I've parked outside the last two nights just to avoid the worst because I've got like a slanted driveway and it's really, any kind of ice at all makes it difficult and I don't have any margin for error. So if I slip a little bit, I'm taking out, you know, my garage basically.
Right.
So I parked outside the last two nights and the first night, no big deal. And then last night I went out to my entire car. We didn't get any snow either, but my entire car was like crusted in ice. It was like a glazed donut.
It looked so pretty though, didn't it? Like, mine was like sparkly, looked like a Christmas ornament.
But I almost fell on my ass.
Well, yeah, there's black ice. You could see it, though. It was real shiny.
I was not expecting it to be. I was just like going to zip right across the little walkway there. Yeah. And my feet almost went out from underneath me twice before I then had to balance and get to the sidewalk where there was crunchiness.
Yeah.
So I used the crunchiness to my advantage.
Yeah, we still have big chunks of snow all through the road. So those are easy because you can walk on those. Yeah, but it was when you stepped off those, that's dangerous.
But what they're saying is, according to my phone, it's done. Like this morning, there might be a few flurries and the ice should melt, even though it's going to get colder later on tonight.
Yeah.
But like the snow on my forecast is completely over with after a 50% chance this morning that we get through, at least where I live.
It says we're having snow flurries right now, or a little snow shower right now.
So, like, till 10 o'clock, a chance for snow, and then it's apparently over.
Yeah, that's what mine shows, too. Unless just really damn cold.
Unless you live on Jacobson Continent. Then it's a different, you know, the Arctic Circle that is North Bend.
And then it says is tomorrow Friday? Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it says rain tomorrow on my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll all wipe away with the rain.
All right. We're all done.
Yep.
Woo. Yeah.
Not in my neck of the woods. No, we got a 70% chance of snow. It's still snowing right now as we speak, and it's supposed to stop, I suppose, but still says 70% chance. And I mean, it's like 15 degrees or 16 degrees out here right now, and it's supposed to only get up to like 27 degrees all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be the problem, is it's going to be real cold. So if it does not warm up tomorrow, then that snow will not be rain. That rain will not be rain.
You better teach those elk how to mush. You might have to get out of there.
Run away, elk.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So there's the weather report to start our sports show with. can I just spend 2 minutes maybe talking about this? Because, I'm not trying to get in trouble. These guys seem like very fine gentlemen. They're very polite when I run into them.
Uh-oh.
But what is going on with the construction dudes here?
There's a lot.
I honestly, at this point, I mean, they don't have a pass, but they park downstairs. They somehow have one of the two passes that it requires. Then they will stand at the elevator and not get on, and they won't make eye contact. And then you see them in the hallway, and they won't make – it's like they're not supposed to be here, but I think they are supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. And I can't figure that out, and I just determined today that this, what I'm living, is the beginning of Die Hard.
Oh, well, it is almost Christmas. And everyone says it's a Christmas movie.
The parts that they edited out because it was too slow and boring to turn into a movie. But like, it feels like I'm in Die Hard right now. At the very beginning, before Bruce shows up and saves the day, I'm like, I'm not even Officer Powell. I haven't even bought my Twinkies yet. This is the very beginning where they're scoping out the building.
Oh,
you know, that sort of thing. That's what it feels like. Hans Gruber is behind this. It's not B&B Builders. It's Hans Gruber.
Oh.
Hans Gruber Construction.
Yeah.
There's something weird going on. It's just odd.
Well, I will tell you that I've been asked several times if I could take them to the second floor. And then I have to say, I'm sorry, I can't because my pass won't go to the second floor. And then I feel like they think I'm lying to them because I don't want them in the elevator with me.
Have you ever caught them speaking German?
Well, no, when I say, I can't take you, I'm sorry, they say, danke.
See? There's more evidence.
I never thought before,
to my argument.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like the beginning of it.
It is.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what we do from here.
If that's the case, I'm glad I'm not there. If Die Hard goes down.
Well, I don't think it's going down Studios, today.
It won't go down until Christmas.
Yeah.
That's the,
you gotta wait. It's a Christmas movie, remember?
That's right. It's a Christmas movie. What? Yippee-yi-ki-yay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Other flower.
Am I wrong, though?
No.
It feels like that. Like,
well, and they're multiplying, too.
Setting the stage for it.
There's more and more of them.
Right?
Yeah. And some of them park outside and then walk into the garage. I do know that. But they are everywhere. They're in, in the...
And doing no work, based on what
I have not seen that yet. Yeah, I have not seen the work yet.
Yeah, there's just a lot of standing around and acting like I'm not there.
Yes.
That's what's happening.
Yeah, well, that's what a lot of us do, is stand around and act like you're not there.
Waiting for the gate that they don't have a pass to, and yet... When you go in, which normally I should have to blow a whistle on that sort of activity, but I don't, because I already got them in trouble with the pee room.
The poo room.
Yeah, really. The poo room. And so then they follow me in, and then they do have the pass to the second level of entry.
Oh, see, that's what most of the ones that I see down there don't have any pass. They just have to wait for someone with a pass to take them up to the second floor.
Maybe that's what's happening.
So they wait in the lobby, then one person with a pass comes in. But they're waiting there, I think, because it's too cold to wait outside.
Bucky, tell me, that's not Die Hard. This is the beginning of Die Hard.
No, it sounds exactly like it. And you're right. They don't want to make eye contact. I don't really give them a choice. I say hello to them and kind of look at them.
Yeah, me too.
Every morning.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, otherwise, I would start to feel like something suspicious is going on.
One of them yesterday was like, oh, so could you take me up to the second floor? And I was like, I'm sorry, my pass doesn't go up there. And I'd already pushed the elevator, so it's starting close. He's like, and one more thing. And I did the, oh, I'm sorry. Like, because I could have pushed the button to hold the elevator door open, but I don't want to sit here and answer your questions.
I was like, I'm barefoot and there's broken glass on the ground. So I didn't take
it. That was smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I took one of our crappy computers, wrapped it in explosives, and threw it down the elevator well.
Oh, gosh. An original idea.
All right. Enough of that nonsense. Let's talk some sports here today. Let's finally get around to that 11 minutes into the show. Let's get into what we are paid to do. And there's news for the Seahawks-Rams game this Sunday. Aaron Donald is officially out of this game. And so... that's a big deal. We talked about it with Greg yesterday, and Greg agreed, best player they've ever faced in the Pete Carroll era. And he has just wreaked havoc against this team. Wrecked crap, to quote Curtis Crabtree, against the Seahawks so many times, and now he's not going to be there. And look, Bucky, it's the National Football League, and anything can happen. I even give the Houston Texans a chance to win from week to week. But this Rams team at 3-8, the way they've played, down Cup, down Stafford, now down Donald. I mean, you can't lose this game this weekend, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. There's always a chance, but you better not lose it. I mean, you're playing one of the teams that's playing the worst in the entire NFL. They're not going to have their best player and then their next best player, Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford aren't going to be there. Nothing is clicking for these guys. I mean, they're not running the ball, which is the Achilles heel, or at least has been for the Seahawks. So if you can keep that in check, which, you know, yesterday I was listening to Ian Furness's show and he had some guy on talking about, I like Ian. So a lot of times I don't agree with anything he says, but the guy he had on was talking about how bad their offensive line is. They're not protecting Matthew Stafford. I guess he's been hit already or pressured more times this year than he was all of last year already. He's already at the same number. And so if you can get after whoever it is that's going to be playing quarterback for him, if you can stop them from running, and then their defense doesn't have their best player and none of the other guys are stepping up the way they have even in years past when you got a double and triple team Aaron Donald, then guys like Floyd and whatnot, some of those guys are coming up and making plays. None of those guys are doing it either other than Bobby Wagner, I guess. And so it seems like everything is pointing in the direction of this should be a big game for the Seahawks.
Well, I would assume, and now that you've mentioned it, I started to second guess it. So I'm like looking it up, but I'm assuming John Wofford from Hobbiton A&M is going to get the start. Maybe Hobbiton State. I don't remember. I just know he's from the Shire.
I thought it was Hobbiton Tech.
It could be Hobbiton Tech. I just know he's from the Shire. So he should, I would think he would get the start. But as soon as you said that, I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't I maybe see another news story this week?
Yeah, it was Bryce. I thought it was Bryce Perkins was the guy that played last week.
Right.
Yeah, a little bit more of a running quarterback. Didn't have very good numbers and obviously, he didn't lead him to a W, so That's who I thought was going to be playing, but I'm not 100% sure who the heck they're going to throw in there after Stafford's hurt and he's still in concussion protocol.
2 days ago, Sean McVay, non-committal on the starter. So John Wolford or Bryce Perkins, it's not going to be Matthew Stafford, it looks like, going into this game. But we shall see. I guess Stafford is still possibly going to play on Sunday, but it's just a banged up team playing terrible football, and they were playing terrible football before they got banged up. So a Rams fan, if he's at the bar and is trying to use the excuse, well, look at all of our injuries this year, you just go ahead and slap those dirty words right out of his mouth, because that's not true. They were crappy before they were injured. All right, so now you add injuries on top of it, and you just wonder how much fight is even left in this team. And you could say, well, championship, a championship team, championship pride. No, that flew the coop a long time ago. So I don't know what kind of a chance I'm giving the Rams this week. I'll just say this. Anything can happen in the National Football League, but as Bucky said, if you're the Seahawks, this is one you got to take. You're in a playoff battle. I know you're going on a road. It's not much of a home field advantage. You cannot let this team take you out on Sunday. So we'll see how it all unfolds. All right, a lot of other stuff going on today in the sports world. Let us find out what's on tap.
This is Chuck and Buck's What's on Tap.
Hey, buddy, what's the deal? What are you talking about?
Brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass in Renton. Remember, it's always 420 at Buddy's. Now with What's on Tap, here's Chuck and Buck.
All right, so Seahawks-Rams Sunday at 1. The Seahawks made a signing yesterday. Jonathan Abram, who's now been cut a couple of times this year. He's a former first-round pick of the Raiders. If you remember when the Raiders were on Hard Knocks, and it was the John Gruden Hard Knocks, and Abram, it was his rookie season. And I think it was Gruden's first year as well, and Mayock's first year as well. And he was the very confident rookie safety for the Raiders at that point. Hasn't turned out so well for Jonathan Abram, as he sits here still early in his career and has been cut twice this year, including by the Raiders. But former first-round pick, obviously there's some talent there. And you know, Bucky, how Pete is with working with talented defensive backs. He thinks he can get the best out of every single one of them. So with a muddied safety situation because of the Ryan Neal injury on top of the previous Jamal Adams injury from weeks ago, Jonathan Abram, I'm not surprised that Pete and John picked him up off the waiver wire.
No, neither am I. I mean, they like to go out and find other people's, you know, first rounders that didn't pan out. And obviously, I think a lot of coaches out there kind of go through the motions and the thought of, oh, give me that guy. Give me those tools and I can fix him up. And yet Pete Carroll and John Schneider, I think that they think that even more than most people do. And they might be right. I mean, he definitely brings something to the table as far as athleticism. Same thing that we watch when you watch Jamal Adams, as far as how athletic he is. And wow, he looks like he can make plays. I would have to think that Jamal Adams is even better at doing that. I mean, he's not a guy that has even ever been close, I would think, of being cut based on some of his deficiencies, whereas Abram has a couple different times. But, yeah, he's definitely an athlete that, you know, now it's, if all of a sudden Ryan Neal's injury is something that lingers or costs him some more time, you know, they're already looking at playing their third-string guy. So if you bring somebody in and you can coach them up, then maybe it's a nice little piece that you can find off somebody else's trash heap.
Let me update this because it was bothering me. So this is the latest news, and this was just 5:26 this morning. Matthew Stafford did not practice yesterday. Head coach Sean McVay said it's, quote, safe to say he won't play on Sunday against the Seahawks. So I guess they haven't ruled him out to play in the game, but whenever the head coach says on Wednesday that it's safe to say he won't play, I think it's safe to say he won't play.
That's safe to say.
Yeah, that's safe to say. Cam Akers also didn't practice on Wednesday either, and whether or not he can get out of the doghouse in time for Sunday remains to be seen. So just to update you on that front, but no, nothing more on whether or not they would lean toward Perkins or Wolford. Thursday night football gets the week in the National Football League started tonight. It will be the Patriots versus Bills. That's a good matchup.
Yeah, that's weird how they luck into that.
Okay, that'll keep you entertained this evening. Patriots, Bills, this is kind of weird. Every team in an Eastern division has a record over 500. Both the NFC and the AFC, all eight teams have records over 500. How about that? And those were supposed to be two teams, two divisions that weren't supposed to be that good.
Well, what are they doing?
And yet they're 8-8 with winning football teams in the East right now. College football championship week. Of course, we are now on the eve of the Pac-12 championship game between Utah and USC. That'll be played tomorrow at 5 o'clock. We will have Softy on today at 9 o'clock. We'll talk a little bit about that, but also about UW and what they are waiting for, what they are hoping for, rooting for from that outcome. And I'll give you a hint. It smells like roses. So Michael Penix for Heisman, another topic that we'll discuss with Softy today at 9 o'clock. The Kraken shoot for 7 in a row tonight. They will be home to take on the Washington Capitals. Dave Tomlinson said yesterday on our show to expect a completely different kind of game than the one you saw last. 9-8? Yeah, I'm not expecting 9-8, but he thinks it might go the exact opposite way. We could have a low-scoring affair tonight between the Caps and the Kraken. Don't care. Let's just grab 7 in a row and avoid playing shinny hockey.
Two ends.
And finally, the World Cup continues. The 16-team field is set. The U.S. has made the round of 16, and on Saturday at 7 a.m., they will take on the Netherlands. So bring on the freaky-deaky Dutch as we are underdogs, decided underdogs in this matchup against the Netherlands. We'll find some time to talk about that later in the show as well. But coming up next, how about a little bit of baseball talk? We are 3 days away from the most wonderful time of the year. And so we're going to dip into a conversation that Bucky and I didn't have on Stove this week. Nimmo versus Kelnick? Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Stay in touch with Seattle's sports leader anywhere, anytime. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/933KJR.
This report is sponsored by Albertsons and Safeway.
With a check on the roads, we are busy on our main lines. Major routes are in decent shape. Continue to use caution, though. Looks like chains are required on 18 between Issaquah-Hobart Road and I-90. Chains also required over Stevens and Snoqualmie Pass.
Now through December 6, spend $75 or more in a single transaction at Safeway and get 50 cents off per gallon at participating Chevron, Texaco, or Safeway fuel stations near you. Restrictions and exclusions apply. Learn more at safeway.com/4U.
Kia of Puyallup has the 2020.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's really cool. I was in my neighborhood and one of my neighbors was putting up his strike zone on his door outside.
Oh, nice.
His,
light up.
You've seen them, right? The perfect circles that people put outside their doors this time of the year to celebrate the winter meetings, and it replicates.
Those are wreaths.
It's like a wreath, and it replicates.
Yeah, with a big hole
zone
in the middle, and that's where you're aiming.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
I was like, thanks, man. Thanks for keeping the joy going.
Yeah,
and he was proud,
and he was like, Merry Christmas, and you were like, Christmas.
I'm like, yes, that too.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we
No, those are Christmas wreaths. Those aren't.
They
those
become
aren't,
that.
Strike yeah. zones.
They become.
People,
that.
I see a bunch of people that are hanging like baseballs.
Yeah.
Off their trees.
I got one on my tree. Not kidding you. His name is Seymour.
Oh.
He has a name.
Okay.
It's a baseball.
They're all different colors.
Those are Christmas ornaments. Guys.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Right?
After
Christmas
decorative
ornaments.
Baseballs.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's what they become.
Can't believe that Ashley has fallen into this.
You get two uses out of them.
Am I being brainwashed?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh.
No, just being shown the light. Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. Chuck Powell, Bucky Jacobs, and Ashley Ryan with you. We are actually just 3 days away from the winter meetings, at least coverage of the winter meetings in San Diego. So for those of you that just cannot wait, I need more Mariner news this offseason. Well, it should. We'll get something. We'll get something next week. How significant, I don't know, but we'll get something next week at the winter meetings. Sunday, they open on MLB Network, and then I think officially they get going on Monday morning, and then will last throughout the course of the week. So trades and free agent signings and you name it, we're getting ready for the most wonderful time of the year, the winter meetings, which start on Sunday. We on our Stove podcast, which is really hard to find, but is available in some sort of world to you. I just put it back out on Twitter, but Bucky and I have laid out a fresh episode of Stove in time for the winter meetings. We cover a lot of ground. We spent some time on Brandon Nimmo, who could be a target for the Mariners. God knows he fits the description of the kind of hitter that this organization looks for. He's a guy that controls the zone. He loves to take walks, has a little bit of pop. He's very aggressive on the base paths. And he's a get your uniform dirty kind of baseball player. Every single game, can play all three outfield positions for you. An athlete, he's 6'3", 215. So it's not like he's, running into walls without something to back it up, but he does run into walls. But in discussing Brandon Nimmo, what we didn't discuss on the Stove podcast, Bucky, is what that would mean for Jared Kelnick. Obviously, Julio's your center fielder. Obviously, Teoscar Hernandez is going to have a spot, whether that's DH or one of the outfield corner positions. I'm kind of assuming one of the outfield corner positions. You still have Jesse Winker in-house, even though I do suspect him to be traded at some point this offseason. And so where does that leave Jared Kelnick and his development? There's no doubt he's been a disappointment statistically to this point, but you and I have defended his youth numerous times on this program and have pointed out several examples of guys, Hall of Famers, who've gotten off to really slow starts in their careers. I mean, David Ortiz didn't even get going until his late 20s, for goodness sake. Yes, I'm interested in Brandon Nimmo, but I'm kind of playing out of both sides of my mouth here, Bucky. I'm very curious to give Jared Kelnick the kind of rope that he needs to hopefully succeed or hang himself with this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you can do both. I mean, I think it would be silly and ill-advised, in my opinion, to not go out and try to fill what looks like an opening at one of those corner outfield spots. Like you said, you got Teoscar at one, and obviously Julio's going to be locking down center field forever. And so I think you go out and find somebody, but you're going to need more than just three outfielders. And they have more. I mean, you have Dylan Moore who can play out there.
But you can't play him all every day if you do that. I mean, if you bring in Nimmo, then what do you do with Kelnick?
Well, you figure out a way. I mean, you play the hot hand and you still have that DH role. So you can give him the rope that you need in order for him to get some ABs. And yet he's going to have a short leash. I mean, there's what he's shown so far has just not been a consistent enough product. I mean, it's not even close to consistent enough. And yet you can see flashes. You can see swings every once in a while where you're like, well, that's impressive. He brings to the table something that you don't just overlook and you don't just throw away simply because he hasn't done it yet. He's 23 years old. I mean, I can tell you right now, if you would have brought me up to the big leagues at 23 years old with hype or without hype, I would have fallen flat on my face. There was just too much that I still didn't understand about myself, about the game, about how good pitchers are and how they try to use your tendencies against you. And he hasn't figured that out. And even more importantly, he hasn't figured out how to handle the failure between the years, but you don't just cast it away because the guy's got 500 ABs. I don't care what the stats say. I don't care what the people that want to just look at the numbers and say stats look like he's garbage and so just get rid of him. He's not ever going to be good. Well, there's other people, a lot of other people, that at this point in their career would be having similar numbers or just would be underperforming and be a disappointment, and yet they can turn it around. And so to me, maybe he's definitely not a guy that I'm looking at as this is my everyday guy, and he's got that position locked down until he loses it. He's kind of lost it. At the same time, give him the offseason and give him another, amount of time to figure out how to grow up a little bit. And then he comes in and he basically has to kind of hit the ground running. He has to have a decent spring training to even make the club. And then if he does, you figure out a way with that extra outfield spot and the DH spot where you can figure out a way to put him in there if he's swinging it.
Yeah, it's problematic. It is. Because you are in a season where you're going for it. You're going for a championship and you can't waste time just waiting on a guy to click. But on the other hand, you can't give up on a talent like this. He's just, every organization in Major League Baseball, they're going to try to buy low on him if you tried to trade him right now, but they're all very intrigued. They would all be very intrigued about adding him to their organization, and maybe we're the team that can figure out a way to explode his really immense talent that he has. And then there's the emotional, psychological aspect of a guy that has not handled situations well to this point in his young career, who has displayed some immaturity. And what damage do you do if you don't name him an everyday player coming out of spring training? So it's a quandary. There's no question about it. I don't think that Jerry is locked in to adding a big-time corner outfielder, a second one this offseason, but it does sound like he's shopping, he's kicking tires, and that may even play itself out in trading Kelnick this offseason. According to a Divish report, they did shop him around at the trading deadline looking for the right offer. So there's just a lot that goes into this Kelnick situation, and I fear that if you do go after Nimmo, that's pretty much the decision that you've made. That I don't know if you get Kelnick back at that point. So you might as well trade him and see what you can get for him. But is there enough room for all of those pieces? That's, to me, a gamble, Bucky.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying, because you're right. You got to get ABs, and you got to get consistent ABs in order to really be able to tell whether or not somebody's coming out of a funk or figured some things out. I'm with you. I don't think that they're going to sell crazy low. At the same time, they probably have somewhat of a headache about the kid because of the way in which he doesn't seem to be growing. It doesn't seem to be maturing. And so if they can get something for him that is more than just peanuts, they're not going to just give up on the talent, regardless of how big of a headache he might be. They're not going to just give him away, because there is still some upside to this kid. And the fact that he's only 23 is something you have to take into account.
Yeah, no question about it. So it's there's no middle ground on Jared Kelnick. There's the group of course we got to give him more of a chance, and the talent's undeniable. And then there's the other side. I've seen enough. I don't ever want to see him on the field again. There are very few that are in the middle on Jared Kelnick right now. And that explains why we're hearing Conforto rumors, I suppose. And why we're hearing Nimmo rumors, is that the organization is at least out there trying to find somebody more prepared to be a part of a championship outfield right now than what Kelnick looks to be at this stage in his career. All right, coming up next, can the Kraken make it 7 in a row? They get their chance tonight against the Washington Capitals. Why Dave Tomlinson says don't expect the same kind of game that we saw Tuesday night. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Now you don't ever have to miss one of your favorite shows. We're available anytime, anywhere. Just search our podcasts at 93.3kjr.com/podcasts.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
With a check on the roads, we are busy on our main lines. Major routes are in decent shape. Continue to use caution, though. Looks like chains are required.
Conversation.
I know. That felt like we had to cover that game in a 7-minute interview with Dave yesterday. 9 to 8. We had to talk about. And then he was like, don't think we're getting out of this interview without me bringing this up.
Yeah.
And explaining shinny to our listening audience.
I wonder if he was relieved you didn't bring it up so he didn't accidentally slip.
I think he wanted me to bring it up right off the bat.
Yeah, maybe.
I probably should have.
Poor Dave, too. He'd gone to bed at 3 in the morning that night before, so he'd only had 4 hours to sleep. So it's possible he would have slipped.
I hate that shin.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Every time my heart stops.
Oh. Those nights where you can't sleep for shin.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm just giving Chuck a death stare right now.
Look.
Beautiful.
Look, you can be turned off by my shin-eating grin all you want.
Oh, my God. Do not do that. One was too scary because I couldn't even, even if you would have screwed it up, I don't know that I would have noticed. Ooh, that terrified me. I'm sweating.
Well, we
don't have such a shinny attitude, Ashley.
Yeah. Let's go. Come on now.
I hate both of you.
Well, the Kraken have a chance to make a 7 in a row tonight. Dave kind of gave us the impression, don't expect that in back-to-back. And I'll ask you, Bucky, I mean, we always kind of, I mean, we kind of admit that, you know, I like hockey, but I've never loved hockey. I've never, like, broken it down or studied it like I have baseball. So we often kind of compare it to baseball. And I would ask you, just from a comparison standpoint, you see this a lot in baseball where a team, you'll erupt for like 19 runs, and then you show up the next day and the fan base is convinced you're on fire, and then you get one hit. It's like you used up all your hits the night before. And according to Dave and his analysis yesterday, number one, Washington plays a much different game than L.A., but I also kind of got that impression that the same thing could happen in the hockey world as well, that they might have that same kind of thing that occurs where that just because you scored 9 goals the night before, it's almost like the hockey gods will even it out the next day. So it sounded to me like Dave's expecting a low scoring affair.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just most of the time, especially in hockey, it is low scoring, right? It just seems like it's not that easy to light the lamp and score goals. And so to some degree in both sports, sometimes you're seeing the ball well, but ultimately it doesn't matter how well you're seeing the ball. If the pitcher goes out there and executes, as hard as it is for me to admit, the good pitching beats good hitting. And so it's kind of a combination of both. I think that they went out there. I think that this team does have this Kraken team. When I'm watching them, it looks like they just look like they understand where each other's going to be. And the game plan and the plays that they run and just how they kind of move in unison looks different than what it did last year. And so that creates more goal scoring opportunities, but there has to be something to the defense just not playing well on both sides for them to give up 9 and 8 goals respectively. And so, yeah, I mean, I would have to think that you play another team, you come out now, regardless of whether or not you were clicking on offense, that's sure, that's fine. Maybe you end up still putting 4 goals on the board, but I don't know for sure if you're going to even sniff anywhere near 9 goals unless you have another poor performance by the opposing defense.
Wow. What a season they're having, though.
It's pretty fun. Right?
Goodness.
It's really fun, actually. My daughter tries to do push-ups for every Kraken goal.
She's going to be yoked.
Yeah. She was like, that's a lot.
So, like, one push-up for one goal, and then
the next time when they have 2 goals, then she'll do 2 push-ups. And then the next time.
The
other night, she was like, no.
I'm not doing 9 push-ups.
She quit. Where did she shut it down at? 4 goals, 5?
It was about 5. But then it's funny because she'll do, for football, she'll do it for a score, but she takes breaks in between. This was happening too fast. She was just like, I can't keep up.
I see. She's like, what do I look like, Thor?
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, keep doing those push-ups and you might.
Come on now. I agreed to this because these games are supposed to be low scoring. Yeah. I'm only doing push-ups during soccer matches.
Yeah.
This day forward.
She does football, baseball, hockey. But yeah, hockey's not supposed to score that fast. She was not impressed. She was, but she wasn't.
My push-up game will be ready for 7 a.m. Saturday morning. I'm ready to go. Oh, God,
yeah. She's when she just has to lay there.
they'll go at it against the Caps tonight, and yeah, I mean, the direction that all of these organizations are going in right now. And you have to say an organization when you're talking about hockey. For the Mariners in this calendar year, for their rebuild to finally sort of convince people that it was worthwhile and came together. And then for the Seahawks, and even though they would never call it a rebuild, but even if they don't end up making the playoffs, obviously the direction that they chose this offseason has already shown tremendous benefits, and the future looks so bright for them. You know, we're talking about one of the great rookie classes that we've ever seen in NFL history. When you get five strong contributors from one rookie class in their rookie season. So that's going tremendously well. And then the Kraken to go from people being kind of, I don't even understand why you were so disappointed last year. That's usually how an expansion season goes. And then for the second year to have one of the best records in the NHL as the month of December begins. I mean, this is fun. Sports are cool.
I'm looking forward to how they end up, you know, going through, you know, in the trade deadline and stuff like that. Okay, do you? Because I mean, I obviously see an uptick in how well they're playing. It looks totally different than what it looked like last year. But do they think that they're now on the verge of, hey, we are, you know, we're Stanley Cup contenders, and so let's go out and make the necessary moves? Or is there still part of it is this? There's a long process. And we're trying to build this thing for the long haul.
Well, I think Ron Francis really likes the trek that they're on. And so I don't think that he'll put the foot on the gas pedal. But I think he could increase speed. You know, I don't think he's putting pedal to the metal this year to try to win a championship. But when you are this successful, yeah, you feel confident to increase your speed a little bit on your trajectory. And so I do believe that we'll see that. And if we don't, then I think it's a little bit of a mistake. But right now, just enjoy it. This is some good shin that we're watching right now. Ooh. This is,
yeah, it is.
Yeah. This is the kind of shin we were hoping to see. So Greg Bell's going to join us. Greg Bell's not going to join us next. That's a habit. He's not going to join us till 8 o'clock today with the 12th man roundtable. And so it gives us an opportunity to talk some college football at 7 o'clock. Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
To the 12th man, when he speaks, everyone listens.
It's a learning curve right now. They want to be something. They're not close to being that yet.
Don't miss Coach Mike Holmgren Mondays at 9, Wednesdays at 2, Thursdays at 4, and Friday mornings at 9:30 on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Sports Radio 93.3, KJR FM.
This report is sponsored by Indeed.com.
With a check on the roads, we are busy on our main lines. Major routes are in decent shape. Continue to use caution, though.